It is already the 20th day of May 2008, and we are going straight into a big interview right here at the start of the show. He'll be with us for the next 40 minutes. He is former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura, also Hollywood movie star, Navy SEAL, and so much more. He's also a best-selling author, former TV host on MSNBC. And he was on with us about a month ago, and it made headlines in hundreds of newspapers, the Associated Press, and national television when he came on the show and questioned the official 9/11 story. And I was just talking to him before we went live, and he said he's, quote, got something he wants to complain about. So you'll find out what that is with me right now. Governor Ventura, thank you for coming on with us.
Hi, Alex. Great to be here again. I hope I could say that. No, I'm laughing because I guess when you do your show, you automatically make it on Bill O'Reilly's idiot list.
I think that's what happens, yes.
Now, I'm confused over that, Alex. How come we're not allowed to ask any questions today?
Well, this broadcast has about 2 million listeners per show, and then it's all magnified on the web, and they don't like the fact that there is a large alternative radio show with more than 60 affiliates, and that's number one internet show. We have
maybe it's something like that, because I can't believe how I simply asked some questions and the way you're attacked for simply asking questions. Has our country really become that you're not even allowed to publicly question the government? You know, I say this, Alex, because in looking back on my 56 years on the planet, the government's lied to me a great deal, and they don't have great credibility with me. So why wouldn't I question them when they tell me something?
Oh, I totally agree with you. I mean, how many times have they been caught lying? And isn't it more suspicious? Me thinks they protest too much.
Yeah.
That they don't want us to ask about Building 7, the firefighters on tape saying the government blew it up. I mean, why aren't we supposed to talk about that?
I don't know. It you know, one of the most interesting interviews that I've seen now has been William Rodriguez.
Absolutely, he was.
When I watched the DVD of William Rodriguez, it's this guy is totally talking from what he remembers. You can clearly see it. He's not making anything up.
Well, he was there. The firefighters and police say that he stayed in to get a lot of them out when things were starting to collapse.
Oh, he's a hero's hero. There's no doubt about it. And when you hear him talk, and he tells about what he knows there, how can you not question what went on that day?
Well, that was my first question. What do you think of the massive media attack that you have gone through for simply asking a question? They never address what you actually said on the show, and the majority of Americans in polls have the same questions. It's all that you're bad to ask those questions.
Well, it's been pretty eye-opening, to say the least, that, you know, if you do ask a question out there, it's like you're not allowed to today. And that's what really troubles me the most, is this attitude. Is it, Alex, the fact that, and here's what I truly believe, I think people have this hidden, almost screen around them in many ways, that because they don't want to believe that it could be true, they just put that screen up and won't allow anything to penetrate it to the effect that it might be true.
You're right. It's a bubble of denial, their little imaginary world, and anything that conflicts with that, they say, isn't allowed.
Yeah, it really is that way. And that to me is what has to come down, is the fact that, you know, I like to refer a great deal to the movie that was just out with on John Adams, because it was very profound.
Governor, stay there. Tell us about that after this quick break.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, he needs no introduction. He's Jesse Ventura. He's going to be with us for most of this hour. We're very thankful for that. And I was going to get into his book being on the New York Times bestselling list. And I was going to get into his run for the Senate. Is he really going to do it? We know he's looking at that. When will we get a final answer? And we will cover that in the second half of the interview after the bottom of the hour. But out of the gates, he brought up 9/11. Now, I have to say, Governor Ventura, I have never seen anyone, and I said this on air, my whole staff said this, all the emails we got said it, I've never seen anyone trounce Sean Hannity like that, just from a position of strength, a position of knowledge, when he says, hey, we don't stage the news, we're not told what to say, and you said, oh, you really want to cover Anna Nicole Smith for 6 months, and he just looked like a cat that had been caught eating the canary. He looked totally guilty and turned red-faced and smiled like a Cheshire cat. It's asinine. It's come out that the Pentagon's planning propaganda. They have hundreds of people on the payroll claiming they're not putting out this info about the war. We know there's propaganda in media. We know they have talking points. They have talking points to attack 9/11 truthers. But I have to tell you, you absolutely kicked Hannity's butt. I've never seen anything like it. He was speechless.
Well, you know, I'm going to give him his due. I actually found him on and off camera the day that I was there, kind of enjoyable. And I know that seems weird to say. It's because I think that with me, he took a slightly different posture than he did with most people.
Well, he knows that you could end up...
The thing is, they want me on later this month, but it won't be in studio. I fully expect them to be far more aggressive with me when I'm not there in person.
But it's not just that they weren't being aggressive. Everything he threw at you, you totally turned around on him. I mean, I've told my listeners that is now the textbook example of how to deal with these people.
Well, I deal with it the only way I know how, and that's kind of strap the ears back and full bore ahead. I'm that way about things. And, you know, and the truth of the matter was I worked in that business. I know what goes on because I fought it myself when I worked at MSNBC. Every day they would send me down the topics they wanted on the show after telling me that my show I could have complete control of. Well, there were topics that, yes, I remember distinctly the one was the murder in California of the pregnant girl.
Yes.
And, I mean, that's important to California, but there's 10,000, 12,000 murders a year that take place. How is one more important than another in this country? And those are local stories that should be dealt with local media. They are not national stories, nor should they be made national stories. They're National Enquirer stories.
Well, we know what they do.
They do those strictly to get ratings.
I was about to say, and it fills up the news time with these issues that don't affect the power brokers. Meanwhile, there's no time to talk about how three more U.S. troops died today.
Yeah, exactly. They fill it up with this gaga baloney. And the bad part is we as a culture are accepting it, but hopefully the listeners that listen to you and the Internet are very dangerous to that because it's becoming more and more powerful all the time, as we know. And rest assured, the Internet will be the next thing the government will try to control.
By the way, Joe Lieberman has called for federal control over the Internet. He wrote a letter to Google's head and said that they need to self-censor and that the government would give them a list of things that weren't allowed to be covered. Thank God Google said no, but they're talking about taxing the web, regulating it, making you have a IP address that's certified, making you thumb scan to get online. What's your view on that, Governor?
I think that's horrible. You know, to me, we better wake up, you know. Oh, guess what? I got a great story for you that'll tie right in. I just came across the Mexican border from Mexico to the U.S., right?
Yes, sir.
And this will tie into what you just talked about. All through Mexico, I was waved through every military stop. They have now down there what are called hassle-free zones, where U.S. citizens can drive and you won't be hassled by the federales or any of that stuff.
Who want their little bite, their mordidas.
Well, but the point of the matter was I wasn't stopped until the U.S. border, and they stopped me. I crossed at Nogales by below Tucson. And when they stopped me, they recognized who I was. I drive an RV. They sent me over to the inspection area. And I was inspected, and he knew who I was. Guess what they confiscated from me?
What?
This is Homeland Security for you. My dog's dog food.
Keeping us safe from Al Qaeda. Got to stop that dog food.
Now, here's the thing that troubled me. This was dog food. I have a very special dog, and I carry the dog food from Minnesota to Mexico and back, and I bring enough. And so the dog food was purchased in the United States. It just was taken out of its original wrapper.
Well, they had to have that authority over
my word, Alex.
Go ahead.
When I said that to them and said, but this is United States dog food, it didn't matter that I vouched for it and the fact that only my dog would be eating it. It wasn't like I was bringing in, 30 cartons worth of Mexican dog food. I'm a private vehicle carrying dog food, and they confiscated it.
Well, the point is that criminals are running wild, murder and crime is way up, and meanwhile, Homeland Security's taken over almost every federal agency, and you have a former governor, an individual who is well-known to everybody, and they had to have that little enforcement, that little we're the boss, you did something wrong. They're training Americans how to be slaves.
I don't know about that, but I thought it was utterly ridiculous that they could confiscate dog food from you when you state that it originated here. What about your word? Doesn't that mean anything anymore today?
No, it means nothing to them. Let's go back, Governor, to when out of the gates you talked about the media attacking you, but the media saying how dare you question the official 9/11 story, never addressing any of the specific facts you listed. So we were talking during the break, and you said you'd like to go through the scientific evidence from another perspective. Let's talk about 9/11.
Well, okay. I'll come at it a little more from a professional standpoint and make it on O'Reilly again. I served 3 years with the Navy Underwater Demolition Team 12, West Coast, and our specialty and what I was trained in was blowing things up. And from a professional standpoint and watching how these three buildings fell, it sure looks like demolition to me, and I believe I have an eye for it, having been trained in it and trained by the best that our military has. And, and especially building number 7, no doubt on that one. When you look at it from my viewpoint, that looks like demolition explosions bringing it down. And I view that as a member of the underwater demolition team.
But then we have them staging the Gulf of Tonkin. We have our own government staging the attack on Iran. And now the White House admits they funded real Wahhabist Al-Qaeda, number 3 in Al-Qaeda. It's been going on for 4 years to attack Iran and stage terror attacks there. A former general came out on Fox earlier this week and said that we need to, quote, have terror attacks inside Iran. But then the media turns around and says Iran is Al-Qaeda when Iran is Shiite. I mean, that's incredible when our government's funding real Al-Qaeda to attack Iran, but then saying Iran is also Al-Qaeda.
Well, I can't answer to that because I'm not as privy as you on that information. Remember, I just returned from Mexico, and I don't get all the news that you get on that. So I can't really respond to that at all. I can only listen to what you have to say and be appalled over it if it's indeed true.
Let's go back and look at 9/11 from this angle. Why did you decide? I mean, I interviewed you in June of 2006, almost 2 years ago.
Yep.
You said, I have questions, Operation Northwoods. I have questions, Gulf of Tonkin, other staged events. But you went that far. And then last time, I didn't press you on 9/11. You brought it up during a break and said, I'd like to talk about it. Why did you decide to take that plunge and go ahead and write about it and question in your book and then go even further on my show? I mean, what
spurred me to do it, first of all, I was like everyone. I couldn't comprehend, nor did I want to believe the worst. And we all know what the worst is. And when it I also was embarrassed a little bit that when it happened, I went on full military mode. I didn't question anything because I was the governor at the time. And I feel bad about that now because I could have been even more powerful then in questioning it. But I didn't because, again, I kind of went on military mode. Our country's been attacked. I believed what I was told, believed it, and went accordingly. Well, then after I got out of office shortly thereafter, and, of course, the invasion of Iraq happened, which I opposed, I couldn't understand why, if Al-Qaeda indeed truly attacked us, why would we not be fighting them in Afghanistan? Instead, we're focusing and going in this other direction to Iraq, who had nothing to do with any of it. In fact, Saddam Hussein feared al-Qaeda as a problem for him. So it didn't make sense to me on that aspect. And so when we invaded Iraq was when I truly, truly started to question President Bush and his policies, because I opposed that war before it even happened. And that's when I thought, and my son kept on me. He kept telling me about this loose change that was on the Internet, and I'm not very savvy to the Internet generally. And finally, he kept on me saying, you got to watch this. And I kept even fighting with him, saying, come on, Ty, you can't believe everything on the Internet. That, you know, there's no way. These guys had to have attacked us, blah, 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 blah. Well, then we got home from Mexico a couple years ago, and one Sunday afternoon, my wife and I both said, you know, let's watch that loose change thing that my son keeps telling you about. And so we had an hour or whatever it was. We went up to the computer room and we watched it. And when I watched it, it hit me like a punch in the stomach, the things that are brought up in it.
So your instincts then picked up the truth of it.
Yeah. Well, I guess you'd call it my instincts. I just, as I watched it and started putting things together, and the fact that why would George Bush drag his feet on any investigation? I put myself in that position as a governor or as a president.
Governor Jesse Ventura, author of the new book, it's on the best seller list, on a bunch of the different bestseller list. Don't Start the Revolution Without Me. We have links where you can get it at InfoWars.com, but it's in stores everywhere. We're going to talk more about that before he leaves us. Governor Ventura, you were going over during that last segment that some stations didn't get. Why hasn't there been an investigation when there's an investigation of a cop having an auto accident and getting hurt, or there's an investigation of a jumbo jet blowing up, or an investigation of the bridge collapse? I mean, it's not just that. Then we have how they've used 9/11 to take our liberties and freedoms, and how they directed us at the wrong country, like you mentioned, Iraq and Afghanistan, and how Bush then said, I'm not looking for bin Laden. I don't care where he is. And now how they're using anti-terror laws against the American people and federalizing everything. Can you give me your take on that, Governor?
Well, I certainly don't like it. You know, we're called the United States of America, and that means states' rights. And for many things, I think states' rights should prevail. We always have a constant takeover by the federal government going on, and we have to stand up to it, and you have to find a way to do it, because we don't want to be the United States with no states. And that's the direction we seem to be going at. And that was one of my big disappointments in George Bush when he first took office. He said that he was going to be an old federalist-style president, power to the states, which I agreed with. And every decision he's made has been just the opposite. And case in point, like, what is it now, 11 or 12 states have voted for medicinal use of marijuana, and yet the federal government won't allow it. Oregon, I know, twice has voted for dignity in death, that if you want to, if you're not going to live and you're dying, you have the right to be in control of your life, and the federal government says no. And so things like that are very disturbing to me, because I like to have an option in this country, that the state that I live in thinks a lot like me and I have the option in which to live there. But more and more I'm seeing that leave, so I tend to live in Mexico more today.
Would you say that in many respects a third world country like Mexico has more freedoms than we have here?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. I could still go in the bar and have a cigar at a sports event. Smoke a cigar in the bar, you can't hear.
Well, that's the control freak nanny state, which is just...
You know, I mean, and I say that laughingly. The other thing is, too, Mexico, I'm not saying Mexico has a great government, but at least you know they're corrupt.
I agree. Yeah.
So you know that going in. But the thing that I find where I live, there's nobody of government anywhere around. So you just govern yourselves and we all get along great. It's like a libertarian paradise where I'm at.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
I take care of myself, Alex, and my family, and we help each other. My neighbors help if they need help. You pull each other out of the ditch because I live in a pretty rugged area, and everyone pitches in, and it doesn't require government at all, even though there's all these laws and everything. Hey, if they're not around, they don't apply to anybody. Just take care of each other.
What kind of dog you got, Governor?
I have a Belgian Malinois.
Oh, those are neat dogs.
Oh, yeah. He's so smart. When he arrived here, he was literate in three languages, which made him the smartest in the house.
We're going to break.
And he's soon learning Spanish, number four.
Amazing. We're going to break and come back with our final segment with the governor, unless I can twist his arm to stay even longer, maybe to the end of the hour. But I want to come back and talk some about the book. I want to talk about a Senate run. Let's go ahead and get into that now. I mean, are you going to run for the Senate, or how long until we know?
Here's how I feel right now. I don't know yet, and I have till July to decide. I feel like this. I believe strongly that on every ballot, federal, local, or whatever, there should be none of the above. So you can vote a vote of no confidence in your government. With this deficit, we should have no confidence in them. And I may offer myself up as that because it isn't officially on the ballot, none of the above. But if I go file and put Jesse Ventura down, I then become none of the above. And so any disgruntled voter, and all I'll try to do at that point is run a very minimal campaign, and all I ask is to be allowed in the debates. Because if I can debate him, I can beat him.
Well, no doubt we need your voice in the U.S. Senate because you are a maverick. You are a somewhat of a renegade, and you're only a renegade because you're what we'd call an old-fashioned American, independence, liberty, freedom, and we need you. So I would certainly support you from Texas for a run for the Minnesota Senate because you could certainly wreak havoc on their plans and use a bully pulpit up there to expose what they're doing. So, Governor, we totally support you. We're going to be back in 3 minutes with Governor Jesse Ventura. And we'll also talk about his new book, Don't Start the Revolution Without Me. So I'm drafting you, Governor. I think you need to go ahead and run for the Senate. We'll be right back. Stay with us. And we have a short time left with Governor Ventura, so I'm going to try to move quickly. Governor, final comment on 9/11. I want to play you a clip that came out and was in major newspapers last week. You may have missed it. Where I'm sure you've heard about how all these major, quote, wartime correspondents or experts they have on Fox, CNN, MSNBC are really on the Pentagon payroll. They're all former generals, of course, and colonels, and that they're putting out unified propaganda. They've now released hundreds of hours of these tapes, and on the tape, they say, wouldn't another terror attack get the people behind the war? We have Republican memos saying the same thing. And Rumsfeld says, yeah, the cure for the people not wanting to, you know, go into Iran and other places is another attack. Here's that one-minute clip. I want to get your take on this.
I mean, this president's pretty much a victim of success. We haven't had an attack here in 5 years. Help. The perception of threat is so low in the society today. That it's not surprising that the behavior pattern reflects a low threat assessment. And the same thing is in Europe, there's a low threat perception. The correction for that, I suppose, is an attack. And when that happens, then everyone gets energized for another period. And it's a shame we don't have the maturity.
Okay. So the American people don't have the maturity to give up their liberty, so there's got to be another attack. The PNAC documents written by Dick Cheney in September of 2000 called for massive Pearl Harbor events to mobilize the empire. Zygmunt Brzezinski's book, Grand Chessboard, calls for giant terror attacks. Your take on that, sir?
Well, first of all, I got to apologize. There was a lot of static on there, and I had my ears are not any better than they used to be. Before, I had a hard time hearing it clearly.
Okay, well, let me just tell you what he says. He says, quote, the correction for the people not, you know, wanting military action is another attack. And he said that's the cure for it, but barring having, you know, another one of those, the people don't support the war.
And who said this?
Donald Rumsfeld.
Wow. Well, you know, if this stuff's true, then my book is right on. We've got to have a revolution and take our country back.
Well, I agree. The book is on a bunch of the bestseller list. I mean, why did you decide to write the book, Don't Start a Revolution Without Me?
Well, as a wake-up call, I actually, with two New York Times bestsellers, I got paid great front money and all that to do those books. This book I did with none. I wanted to do it down in Mexico with Dick Russell. And we got together every week, and we'd work on it. And I wanted it to be more of a message and a wake-up call to try to wake up the United States of America that the two-party system is corrupt, and that the two-party system, that you have to change the system in which to change the government. And we've got to wake up to that fact, because if we don't, we could very much lose the republic, because that's what Thomas Jefferson warned about. That's what John Adams warned about. That political parties would eventually strangle the republic, because decisions would be made on behalf of the political party, not on behalf of the republic. And that's what we're getting today. An interesting case in point, and we'll tie it back to 9/11 a little. I find it very interesting that the Whitewater investigation, which, in the end, all it did was turn up that the president cheated on his wife with an intern. They spent $100 million on that. For 9/11, they only spent $9 million. And I find that peculiar that, thousands of people were killed in one, and nobody died in the other one that I know of, or they couldn't prove. Maybe one person did, I guess they talk about it. But they spent $100 million to investigate that.
What do you think of Barack Obama and Hillary wanting socialized health care, and Barack Obama is saying we need to have the government control how many calories we eat? I mean, if you think the nanny state's bad, with San Francisco saying you can't drink bottled water and most cities banning smoking cigarettes even outside, they're now not letting people smoke in their own houses in some cities. Cops are getting fired who get caught and reported by other officers for smoking cigars on their bass boat. I'm sure you've heard about those cases. What do you think of the nanny state that's being pushed by the Democrats?
Well, and that's just as bad. I know that I come down hard on the Republicans probably a great deal more because they're in power right now. But the Democrats will be no better. In fact, they will be even worse, because Democrats, they want no liberties for you at all, hardly. They want everything government controlled. I remember when I ran for governor, Hubert Skip Humphrey, no matter what subject came up during the race, he had a government program waiting to take care of it. And it was like I looked at him at one point and said, Skip, who pays for all this? Government laws and more laws. What people need to understand, Alex, is that every time a legislature passes a law, there's a money tag with that. It costs money to implement that law.
Well, what?
And as a chief executive of a state or country or whatever, you have to do it. You can't arbitrarily to yourself go, well, this is a stupid damn law, I won't implement it. You're not given that ability.
Absolutely. Folks, find out more about his new best-selling book. Been out for about a month. It's already a bestseller up on InfoWars.com. We have links through to where you can get Jesse Ventura's Don't Start the Revolution Without Me. Governor, I'm not trying to press you because I know you haven't made the decision yet, but what are you leaning towards? I mean, I guess you're saying we're going to find out if you're going to run for the Minnesota seat for the U.S. Senate. We're going to find out if you're going to... We're going to find out in July, and right now...
July's when filing takes place. And see, I won't just run to win. I'll run to set an example to turn around America, and that will be this. Whenever I run for office, I do not spend more money than what the office will pay me. I did it as governor. I only raised $300,000. I was paid $480,000. And you know why I do that? Because of what my dad said to me when I was a kid. When I was a little kid growing up, my dad was a World War II vet, eighth grade education. But he gets smarter every day. And he said to me one day, he said, all politicians are crooks. And I said, Dad, come on, how can you say that a blanket statement like that? And he said, easy. He said, because they spend $1 million for a job that pays $100,000 a year.
Absolutely. The evidence is right there. That's what one of my grandpas would always say.
And so I make it a point that when I run for office, I do not spend more money than what I will make. Now, as a U.S. senator, I will make close to $950,000 through the course of that six-year thing. So that means I could probably spend about $750,000 to get the job.
Now,
but I will not spend over that. And, you know, if I do it, I'll decide in July, because I believe these campaigns are far too long and far too expensive.
Well, we need you also during this national election cycle to be injecting sanity, and that will up your profile if you run for Senate. I think it's a no-brainer. I'm begging you to do it. We need you to do this, Governor.
The problem is, though, Alex, is then I have to do it.
Then you can't go surfing.
That's right. Then I can't go down to Baja and watch sunsets down there and take my surfboard out and fall down as I try to learn how to do it.
Absolute heaven down there. I certainly envy you down
there. No one watching over me.
No big brother telling you.
No big brothers down there. Do you know what I also do with all my new vehicles? I disconnect that OnStar.
Which tracks you, yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. That, people think that that's a... They can track you anywhere you go if you got that hooked up on your vehicle.
Governor, I want to run through a bunch of questions quickly now because we're almost out of time.
Sure.
Government drug dealing. They had a CIA aircraft right at 4 tons of pure cocaine, showing it came from the source. One of the CIA rendition flights, same plane, CIA-owned, crashed in Yucatan Peninsula. Nothing on our press, all over the foreign press, with the CIA pilot, killed the people on board, filled with pure cocaine. Should we decriminalize drugs, A, and B? The experts I've had on here believe that over 85% of all narcotics is brought in and licensed by the government.
Well, I think absolutely we should decriminalize it because of the fact that when I was in Mexico, the Virginia Tech thing happened. And the headlines in Mexico said USA 33, Mexico 20. Because that day there were 20 people killed in the war on drugs on the border. Only difference is theirs happens every day.
And now it's spread all the way up into Indiana, up into Dallas. Quote, military, our government trained, are now, quote, helping the Mexican drug cartels.
I don't know anything about that.
Oh, yeah, that was finally in the Houston Chronicle. Just a side issue. What do you? I know he's your buddy. I know you've been in some films with him, like Running Man and Predator. And I know you're a loyal person. But Schwarzenegger, you talk about big government, gun control, on a lot of these issues. What do you think of the job Schwarzenegger's done as governor?
Well, remember this. Arnold is not a true Republican. Arnold is very liberal on the social issues, much like I am. I don't care about gay marriage. It's none of my business, things of that nature. So remember, Arnold's also a populist. He tried the hardline Republican position in California, and he got hammered. His popularity went down the toilet, so he made a turn. And now he's doing things that apparently the Californians are more popular with.
But what about gun control?
Arnold is not a dummy. You know, Arnold knows where his bread gets buttered depending on what he's doing.
Yeah, but you could do that, too. You could go with how the bread's buttered and probably be president. I mean, there is a difference here. You're not for gun control. You're not for drug criminalization. Arnold is.
Well, I don't think Arnold's for drug criminalization, is he? Because he's not bothering the pot shops out there for the medical stuff.
He lets the feds come in and go after him. He hasn't been trying to repeal these drug laws.
But the point is, he can't stop the feds anyway. Federal jurisdiction takes priority over state. Otherwise, if I was governor, I could stop our National Guard people from going to Iraq.
When's the last time you? When's the last time you talked to Arnold? Has he read your book?
I have never talked to him since he took office.
Well, I know that he said that he modeled a lot of his campaign off the fact that he saw that you could win.
That may be true, but I haven't spoken to him at all. I stopped by one time when I was giving a speech in Sacramento, and he had already gone home, you know, back to L.A. And so he wasn't in that day. I just left a note for him and gave him my best regards, and I haven't talked or heard from him since.
Jesse, talking about the police state, all over the country now, they don't just do breathalyzers. They're taking blood at checkpoints from Illinois to Texas, from Arizona to New York State. They're now having, quote, federalization drills where they get tens of thousands of police in 3-4-state areas to randomly search pedestrians now, not just cars, set up checkpoints. What's your take on that?
Well, if it's true, we're in tough shape. The only thing I can comment on is what goes on in my life, and I am concerned because when I crossed the border this year, inside the border was a second immigration checkpoint. Well, according to the Constitution of the United States, once I show at the border that I'm a U.S. citizen, I should not be required or be asked any type of identification as I travel throughout the continental United States.
And now they're building those deeper and deeper, over 100 miles in, and they're going after citizens.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, like the car in front of me, I saw the people showing passports, and they were from California. Well, for some reason, they waved me through, because I turned to my wife, and I go, I'm going to see if the Constitution protects me. I will not show these people anything, even though they're immigration.
What happened?
I'm a U.S. citizen. If it's a state trooper, that's different. You're on a highway, then you show your driver's license. But as a U.S. citizen, I am not required to show anything.
What happened?
As I travel throughout the country. The Constitution guarantees me that.
Governor, what happened when you did that?
For some reason, they always wave me through. Every time, they don't question or do anything. I get waved through. So I don't get a chance to really turn them down because they never ask me for anything. But it is racial profiling because I happen to have blue eyes. That might be part of the reason I'm waved through.
Unbelievable. Governor, we have a little bit of issue with the line. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Okay, good. We went to backup there. I'm in Texas. They're in Minnesota. This only happens when we got a huge guest on with us. Governor, in closing, with the 3 or 4 minutes we've got left, other points, other key issues that you want to impart, anything else on 9/11, anything else you want to talk about with the future of this republic?
Well, you know, the main thing I want to talk about is the fact that we better wake up and we better pay attention and not to believe everything that the status quo tells you, because they're not necessarily talking the truth, and I'm finding that out more and more and more, and I personally have no trust in the government anymore because they've been so deceitful to me on everything, it seems, and that we've got to change. And I think the other thing I'd like to bring out is this. Having lived outside of the United States now for 3 years in a row for half the year, my belief is that you're not a world power by carrying a club and beating everyone up. And our status throughout the world has dropped dramatically now. The most popular T-shirt you see in Mexico amongst young people now is a photo of George Bush, and it says weapon of mass destruction. And I really don't think it should be part of as the United States, and it's time for us to change direction. So when Obama says about talking to our enemies, I see nothing wrong with that, because it should be the last option. War should never be the first option is what we've made it today.
Well, you're right, Governor. Our name has been destroyed, and the so-called conservatives that still support the war, A, they're against the will of the people. Only 30% support the war still. And B, they have bankrupted us. The dollar's being devalued. Inflation is in double digits. The Federal Reserve's denying it, but oil just went to $130 a barrel today.
Did I tell you my take on oil?
No, sir.
I think this is what's happening on oil. I think they're driving the price up to battle the environmentalists. I think they want to get drilling in Alaska. They want to get offshore drilling. This is a ploy by the oil companies, in my opinion, to drive the price up to where the American people will say it's $5 a gallon. I don't care about the environment. Drill. I've got to have my gas.
Well, that's a part of it, I think, but largely the dollar has been devalued. Oil is dollar denominated, and so if the dollar's been devalued by more than half, oil's going to double.
Oh, yeah, on that end, too. Very good point. Very good point.
I noticed that in Minnesota, because we had some of our local guys that work at the network came out and shot some video of you talking, and you wouldn't address the press, but you would address them. Why were you not talking to the mainstream press?
Well, I talk to the mainstream press, except not the Minnesota mainstream press. I've made it my personal vendetta that I never speak to them again, because when I was in office, they attacked my children. And so the only way I can fight back is to not talk to them, not make them money. And so I speak to the open press in Boston. I speak to them in L.A., anywhere else, but I will not speak to the Minnesota media because it's my personal vendetta against them. And, you know, us Navy SEALs, we don't get mad, we get even. That's our saying. And so my only way of getting even with them is to not speak to them. That's why I did speak to your people, but on purposely I do not speak to them. And it is because they attack my kids. My son refuses to live in Minnesota now.
Governor Ventura, I want to say one more word to you during the break and then let you go. I really appreciate you spending time with us. The book is on the bestseller list. We need to make it even bigger. It is Don't Start the Revolution Without Me, Governor Jesse Ventura. We'll be right back.